Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
It's Wednesday, September 14th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. Okay, so there was a teacher in the late 1800s. He had two former students. Both lost their wives. So this teacher wanted to offer them encouragement. He got with a pastor friend, and the two of them wrote, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." That's how this hymn came to be. Now, the second and third verse says this, "Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Now you could say it like this, "I'm a pilgrim on a journey home. Now this journey is filled with wonder and wickedness, smiles and tears. Along my way I'm met with pleasant people, shady groves, and flowery meadows. But there's also lurking around every turn, lying in wait, another trial, another burden, another pain. But what have I to dread? What have I to fear? I actually have blessed peace with my Lord so near. I'm leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I'm not home. I'm a pilgrim on a journey home. But no matter how bad it gets on this journey, I have a closeness with God, and nothing is separating us." All right. This is starting to sound a lot like Paul in Romans 8. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's what we say to these things. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, the context here is suffering. He goes on, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." And then he says, "No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what do we say to these things? When a spouse leaves us, or when a spouse dies, or when a dream is crushed, or when our child is a prodigal, when we are persecuted for Christ, when suffering comes our way, what do we say to these things? This is what we say. If God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son. He has brought us near by his blood, and there's nothing separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we have nothing to fear. We're leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We're safe, and we're secure from all alarms. It could take our lives, and we're still safe. So for us to live as Christ and to die as gain, we're leaning on the Everlasting Arms. May we lean on God. May we run to him during pain. And may we live to make his name great in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.
The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changin'.